We're doing a series on aliens, and you can go to our cityparkchurch.com website and click on the message thing. It will take you to iTunes, and you can listen to the messages. We're getting them all caught up and posted in the midst of the transition between websites. You'll be able to download them. We have multiple sites that we'll be posting on. You'll be able to download your messages on your iPhone or on your Android device. Okay. Eventually, once we get our cameras, you'll be able to watch us live streaming on a Sunday morning. So if you're on vacation, you'll never be without Pastor Bob. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Okay. Sunday morning, when you're feeling guilty because you're not in church, you know. Does anybody here visit churches when you go on vacation? Okay, well, guess you're not a pastor. We want to go see what other churches are doing. You know, we get inspired. You know, the one church we go to in Bend is called Westside Church. It's an amazing church. They built a brand new lobby, and we go in there and we're like, ooh, look at this. And then we kind of test it out, see how friendly people are and how they greet you and how they do church, you know? And that church is like, in my book, top 20 in the world. It's just one of those kind of places you want to go to, because it's friendly and inviting and inspiring. Their kids' rooms painted, their youth rooms are amazing. It's really a quality place. So just inspiring to go there. So that's what we like to do. Our kids will be like, oh, we're on vacation. We're like, come on, we're going to church. And then we get there like, that was cool. Can we do that, Dad? I'm like, absolutely. All it takes is money, hallelujah, and people. We can buy that. Amen. So we're talking about aliens. Everybody say, I am an alien. Amen. Now, Jesus was sent from heaven, and he wasn't sent without a purpose. He was sent on a mission, and his number one mission was to fulfill God's will for life and humanity. That was his mission. He didn't just come down here to hang out. Here's what he said in John 6:38. John 6:38, our main scripture for today, says, "For I have come down from heaven. I am an alien. Not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." If that was Jesus' mission, he's from heaven, and if we are all from heaven, that's our home we have come from and what we're going to go back to, then we can conclude that his mission is our mission. For I, Bob Trombley, have come down from heaven, not to do my will, here's where the struggle is, but to do the will of him who sent me. Because we all are sent ones, we are missionaries, with a temporary visa, living here doing a temporary job. Because someday we won't be here. Someday I'll fly away, oh glory. Amen? And go back home to my mansion in the sky. Hallelujah. Luke 4:43, Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." We, too, are sent ones. We came from another planet. Earth is beautiful. Heaven is stupendous. In the book of John alone, in the book of John, Jesus mentions the word sent 17 times. 17 times. This vision drove him passionately. Now, there's a buzzword in Christianity these days, and it's this word called purpose. We're all looking for our purpose in life. What we have to understand is his purpose is our purpose. He's our commander in chief. He is our general. He is our good shepherd. He's the main guy. Amen. He's the boss. Hallelujah. He's the admiral on the ship. His purpose is our purpose. We exist to fulfill his purpose. Amen. So he came down to teach us that and to demonstrate what is possible. Living filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as we've taught previously, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Same Spirit, same power, same miracle-working power, same wisdom, everything we'll ever need. He came down to this earth, gave it to us, died, went to hell for us, was risen. He took care of the plan and the purpose on earth by training the disciples, the 12, the 70, and then us. And then he ascended up into heaven. Now he seats at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us the authority, as we talked about, to do even greater things than he did because he's up there and we're here. All authority was given to him in heaven and on earth. We were left on earth to carry out that job. Hallelujah. With the same power. That's awesome. With the same power. And my plea to you is this: how can we not have the same power and fulfill the same things that Jesus did or even greater without that power? How do some Christians believe that somehow that power was diminished or went away with the disciples? That the miracle-working power is not there anymore, that we can't do miracles, we can't lay hands on the sick, that we can't do what Jesus did. Jesus said, you're going to do even greater things. So we have to believe, we have to have the power in order to do that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed, he will never change, and his power is not changed. His power is as prevalent today as it was back then, even more so. Why? Because there's more Christians walking the earth in power. God is doing amazing things. And he wants to do it through us continually. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this: for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our mission has already been laid out for us. As we walk in the Spirit and follow him, and as we're led by the Spirit, as we get in tune with his voice, then on a daily basis, we can fulfill God's will every day. God will lead you and guide you to the works that he's prepared for us ahead of time. Even before the foundation of the world, God has prepared things for you to do as a born-again believer. That's how much he thinks of you. Amen? That's how much God loves you. He has known you. He has known you would exist on this planet, and he has known that you would come to this church and be here this day. God has already had that all prepared out. And guess what? You have obeyed God. You're here in church today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's an awesome thought, that we just don't exist looking for what is our purpose? What is our purpose? Our purpose is his purpose. His purpose is our purpose. This is why we exist. Hallelujah. God's handiwork. I love that word. He took some time when he made us. There was some thought put into creating you. God made you a certain way, made you to look a certain way, made you to have certain gifts and certain talents, because he has certain people that he wants you to reach. There's certain people that will listen to you that won't listen to me. That won't listen to Sibylle, I won't listen to Libby, I won't listen to Don. There's certain people that God has sent you to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there is hope, amen? That you can be saved, that you can have confidence in the fact that heaven is your home, and you can have purpose on this earth. God created you. God has a mission for you. You are ambassadors, hallelujah, on a temporary work visa. Luke 19 and verse 13. Luke 19 and verse 13. As we study this subject, the King James Version says this, apart from the NIV, says, and he called his 10 servants, if you remember this parable, and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said to them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Now, this isn't a bunch of crazy people that set up tents in downtown Portland and, you know, the Occupy movement, whatever it was. Basically, just a bunch of lazy people that don't want to work, right? Don't want to do anything. No, to occupy means this. It means to conduct business and increase. That's what he expected of those who were given the 10 pounds. Conduct business and increase. He just didn't create us just to sit around on our Gutius Maximus here and just do nothing. He created us to do something significant. He didn't send us here to conform to the world. He sent us to transform the world and to take over. Hallelujah. When you watch a movie with aliens in it, they don't come in that movie to make friends. They come to take over. That's their goal. ISIS is not here to make friends. Their Islamic goal is to take over the world. And they have a plan. And they're trying to carry out that plan. And it will backfire. Amen? As Mike shared, it will backfire. Why? Because God has a greater plan. Because we've read the book. Are you guys out there? Because we know what the end is. And we are all part of that story. Hallelujah. Us as believers, as City Park Church, we're part of this story to carry out God's plan in our neighborhoods and in this local area. We are an army that God wants to use. He wants to mobilize. You guys are amazing as far as construction and painting, and all that is unintimidating because you don't have to talk to people. God wants to mobilize you also with that same passion and that same vigor and get out there and start talking and start sharing the love of God, or continue to share the love of God as you're doing. He commands us to go into the world, to preach the gospel, and to expand the kingdom. He commands us to occupy, to conduct business, and to increase. He wants us to increase the church. God has always been about increase, always. You will never find anything small about God. Never. Words the Bible uses to describe God is he's the God who's more than enough, not just enough, not just barely get along. He's the God of the abundant, not just supply your needs, but supply the funds and the provision for your dreams, more than enough. He's the God of the lavish. He's the God of the excessive. People that will criticize Christianity, if they ever go to heaven, they'll be blown away to find streets paved with gold. Hallelujah. To find walls made with jewels and rubies. He's lavish. He's extravagant. God is just too much. Amen? Man, that God, my God, he's just too much. Can you imagine that? Too much. He came to set things up and then leave for a while, but he left us in charge until he returns. And the kingdom of God can increase in two ways. Number one is in number, and secondly, in influence. You want to write that down. In number and in influence. As a pastor, we're underneath the admiralship of Christ. And this ship that I've been given command over is City Park ship. And it's my goal to fulfill God's will as the leader to increase in number and in influence. God cares about numbers. He cares about people, but he cares about numbers. Because he loves every one of the numbers. Loves every one of us. He created every one of us. In Luke 10, verse 2, he said, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. God cares about numbers. I care about numbers. I want to see people filling our new church. Hallelujah. I want to see two services, three services. I want to see that building being used constantly for the glory of God. I want it to become a hub, a social center where righteous things happen, but a social center for people to come, for man and women to get married in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, for healthy things to happen. We could have great concerts and great cultural things in there. Amen? Jazz concert or whatever. That auditorium is going to be amazing for all kinds of things. God wants to use it. God has set us up with an amazing location, an amazing place for such a time as this. You can feel it with the expectation from you. Now that we see things happening and we see the walls up and the paint on and the carpet going in this week, you know, you can sense it. I sense the expectation. But let us not deceive ourselves that a church is only a building and that people will only come in through the signs on the wall or through a Facebook ad. Those are all fine and good, but the church will grow because of us, because we have taken our position in our society and our culture as people of influence. Amen? As the light of the world and as the salt of the earth. God wants us to increase in number. He wants his kingdom to be full. He wants his house to be full of kids. Hallelujah. Running around, playing, laughing, singing, just exuberation all over the place. Excitement, joy. And he also wants the potential to happen in the midst of all those kids that become part of that family, that are born into the family of God. There's potential increase because there's more laborers. Amen? That's what we believe in God for. We cannot sustain everything that God wants us to do as a church with the people that we have right now, the numbers we have. We need more people. We need more singers and we need more sound people. We need experts to come in that are good with video. We need more people working in our children's ministry. We had a lady come in the building. She wanted to tour the building. She just walked in yesterday to wonder what's going on and what kind of church are you? And we showed her the kids' rooms downstairs and upstairs. And she comments, well, the church I go to, they don't have a lot for kids. I want the place to be packed with children. Amen? I want there to be 50 kids in City Park Kids. Amen? On a Sunday morning. I want us to have a space problem. I want us to have a parking problem. I want us to have a traffic problem, and I want to hire cops to figure it out front. This is what God wants. God wants, when these last days revival happens, all the buildings that are built as far as churches, there's not enough seats in Gresham. We have 100,000 people. How many seats really are there in Gresham in the churches to house the last days revival? It's going to be overwhelming. Hallelujah. It's going to be overwhelming because God's doing something through us. Hallelujah. Through all the other churches that are happening out there, whether that be Greater Gresham Baptist Church, whether that be East Hill Church, whether that be Mountain View Church, or all these other churches that are having service this morning, the new, Anthem Church over there, right across where Jacob and Jennifer live. They bought or rented the old, Bally's building. Jacob said, man, I can't get out of my street anymore on Sunday mornings, all these cars. Praise God. Amen? It's funny, because a couple weeks ago, Sabella and I drove by. I says, that would make a great church. That's a great building. And then Jacob texts us, did you know that Anthem Church is moving in that building? I'm like, dang, I wanted that building. Why? Because our building is going to be too small soon. Hallelujah. It's okay, I like to preach. I'll preach five times a day. It doesn't matter. If I can work 9 days straight in a row at the building, I can preach five sermons on a day. Can you say amen? I'm taking a day off today. I'm going to go crash. Maybe get a little food over bills, but I'll call home. Hallelujah. Influence. The more we are aware of who we are, the greater influence we will have on this earth. True revival is not a program. It is about manifesting the kingdom of God. The power of God should ooze out of us and infiltrate every part of society, from politics to economics. We're not here to conform the world. We're here to take over the world. We're here to rule and reign. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says this: "For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" Everybody say, reign in life. Come on. You know that old name? Champions, yeah, hallelujah. More than conquerors, still true, just because we changed the name. Hallelujah. Reign in life. Rule and reign. Rule and reign over every situation in your life. Rule and reign over the authority God's given you over your family. Hallelujah. Rule and reign over your finances. Got it together. God is doing stuff, and I've got more than enough. Ruling and reigning over my mind, over my spirit, over my body. I'm ruling and reigning over it. I'm not allowing anything to infiltrate my body or my habits that's going to take precedent over the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to rule and reign over this thing, what goes in and what comes out. I'm going to rule and reign over these things, what I allow my eyes to watch and see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rule and reign. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4. How many like to eat? Anybody like to eat? Have you ever been so hungry? Have you ever not eaten? You skip lunch. And, you know, a lot of times, supposed to eat it five times a day kind of thing, and not ever get hungry because it messes up your body and your metabolism and all that kind of stuff. But there'll be times where you just work so hard that you just forget to eat. And then all of a sudden, 4 o'clock comes and you're like, oh, I forgot to eat lunch. And then you start feeling that hunger rise up. And that's the worst if you're on a diet, you know, because then you go home and you just start to ravage everything that's there. And whatever's on the counter, right? Okay? Whatever's on the counter, if it's a banana, if it's fruit, or if it's chocolate, yogurt, it doesn't matter. You just start to eat everything because you're too tired to cook, right? You're too tired to cook. So, you know, by the time you snack, you don't have to cook because you're full. And you're like, food! My kids were like, make a lunch! Because then they come home after school and they ravage the kitchen and then we make dinner and they don't eat. I'm like, make a lunch! Because we're cooking dinner. Amen? Anybody watch Bear Grylls? What is it called? Man versus Wild, right? He's got all these guys, all these celebrities on now. Pretty cool show. Like, who are these guys? Oh, yeah, Zac Efron. We watched one with him, and all the girls are like, ooh, yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal and some lady who's on the Good Morning America show. I don't know. Anyway. He's out there for a few days in the wild with him. And, you know Bear Grylls, he loves to eat anything. I don't know if he loves it, but he just does. Because when you're hungry, you'll eat anything. I mean, I don't particularly like fishy fish, but if that was the only thing, I'd eat it. Right? When you're hungry, you eat anything. I mean, it's like, whatever, I'm starving. When you don't got food, all the stuff that's left in your closet, all of a sudden you find a way to make it because you don't have any food left, and you get creative. You're like, oh, look at all these cans here. I'm going to make some. Oh, I should have thought about that before. But you kind of stuff them in the back of the shelf, and you don't use it. You'll eat anything, right? I mean, Man versus Wild, they came up upon this dead, what is it, dead beaver. They threw that. What was the other one? It was a squirrel. They came up on a squirrel and they gutted the thing, and they put it on a stick and made a fire and they cooked it up, and they ate it. Have you seen him go inside the tree? He opens up the bark and he finds these big... Look at Ethan back there. He's like, yeah. Ethan could be like on that show. He could have his own show. He loves all that stuff, you know. Ethan goes down to the river by our house. He catches crawdads and he cooks them at home. That's what he does. Smells like fish, Kara says. Amen. You're not going to catch me eating those unless it's really desperate, okay? He's taking these huge grubs off of the tree and he's cooking them up in this porridge stuff, you know, and Zac Efron is over there and they're eating these things together. You know, Zac Efron could eat anything he wants, right? And, you know, he's like, but, you know, they're hungry because they've been out for days not having food. Hungry. Look what Jesus said. He said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of God, the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. My food. It's what I live for. How many times do we eat a day? 3 times a day. We're always thinking of food. You go camping. Most of the time, if you're cooking your own food on a camping trip, what are you thinking about? What's the next meal? If you're cleaning the dishes, you're thinking about the next meal. Getting it ready. My food. What I live for. What I desire. What I want to taste. What I want to see. What I want to sample. My food is to do the will of God. It's the only thing that truly satisfies me deep down. It's the only thing. I'm trying to teach my kids, every meal doesn't have to be your favorite meal. Every meal doesn't have to be pizza and spaghettis. We don't live to eat, we eat to live. So I don't care if it's your favorite meal, sit down and eat it. Because that's what we got. My kids would be like, soup again? For the third day? It's fresh. And your mother made it, and sit down and eat it. But, you know, since they got a car and they get jobs, where do they go? They go, oh, sorry, Dad, I'm leaving. Where are you going? Oh, I'm taking a ride. And they come back with, you know, bags at Chipotle and McDonald's. And I'm like, we're having dinner soon.
I didn't like the dinner.
I'm like, what you need to do is you need to move out and pay for your own food. Yeah. Then you'll really find out what it costs to feed a family or feed yourself. Because if you got other bills, you can't afford to go to those places all the time. And have to go hunting like Chuck and shoot a deer. Make venison burgers and venison steaks and venison this and venison that and stew and... I mean, hallelujah. Amen? Aren't you planning? Did you go do a hunting thing? Getting ready to hunt again. Got to fill the freezer. Hallelujah. My food. When you're hungry, you'll do anything to get food. Listen, you'll go anywhere. You'll eat whatever. Pickiness goes out the window. Jesus said food is what he lives for, to do the will of God. So many Christians, they start God's plan, but they don't finish God's plan. In order to finish God's plan, you have to continually stir up your passion and your hunger to do God's will. You got to constantly renew your mind to the fact that I am here on a temporary worker visa. Heaven is my home, and soon I will go back there. But for now, temporarily, I am here to do a job. I am here to love people. I am here to save people. I am here to preach to people. I am here to witness to people. I am here to pray for people. And my food every day is not just eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My food is eat during lunch, during breakfast, or during dinner, or all in between, is to do the will of God. My food is to share Christ. I can't live without a day where I can't share Christ because I'm hungry to see God move. My food is to see sick people and lay my hands on them, because I am hungry to see God do something through me. I am hungry to see all those greater things to happen in my life. I want to see them happen. God promises it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm a believer. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be an evangelist. You don't need to be a bishop. You don't need to be the high and mighty, guru of Christianity. You don't need to be Billy Graham, or you don't need to be any of these people. You need to be a believer. Believers lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Are you out there this morning looking for opportunities? The question is, what are you hungry for? If all you're ever thinking is making money and getting rich, that's what you're hungry for. Where are your thoughts? Where is your meditation? What have you allowed your mind to go to? Start thinking about your destiny. Start thinking about the calling and fulfilling what God sent you here on this earth for. Hallelujah. Convenient Christianity is an epidemic in the church. There's going to be tough times living on this planet. And we claim to be sold out, but we're only sold out when it's convenient. It takes determination. It takes fortitude. It takes love for God, and it takes focus. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Here's what Jesus said. He was constantly dealing with this. He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. He dealt with selfishness. He dealt with every temptation that we will ever deal with, and he conquered them all. And he didn't conquer them as God. He conquered them as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit and power lives in us. Therefore, we can conquer our fears. We can conquer our insecurities just like he did. He said, by myself, listen to that, I can do nothing. By myself. Now, religious people will look at that and say, that don't make sense because I thought he was God. No, he was God, but he gave up his power. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit like you and I. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Wow. Can you imagine if you get a church of 200-300 people that are living that? The church will be unstoppable, folks. Church will be unstoppable. The church, we won't be able to hold all the people if we start living like this. For most of modern Christianity, especially American Christianity, we only serve God when we want to. We only go to church when there's nothing else going on. We only tithe when we have extra money. We only bless others when it doesn't affect our finances. Sadly, many are focused on God's mission as long as it lines up with what we want and it doesn't disrupt our lives. Like another club or a sports program. We can get cold and complacent to the things of God. God's word for you this morning is stay focused. His mission is our mission. The devil is a liar. ISIS is killing those Christians. As Mike shared, anytime since the beginning of Christianity, in the book of Acts, from the beginning, when persecution came, the church grew. Every time. Every time throughout history. Although we watch the videos, we see what's going on, we listen to CNN and Fox and watch these things happening, and we can get sad and we can get depressed. Yes, it is sad. But on the opposite side, we know it's not going to work. That the devil is so stupid. It'll only fire those Catholics up. These people, most of these people are Catholics. It'll fire these Catholics up. Hallelujah. Did you see the Chinese people, the video of the Chinese people when they first got their Bible? There's a video. This box came in this room. And all these Chinese people in one of the underground churches, this is the first time they got a Bible. They opened the box. They couldn't get it open fast enough. They started passing them out, and they were holding them. hugging them, and they were kissing them, and they were, their eyes were wide open that they couldn't believe that they actually owned a whole Bible. It was amazing. And we American Christians, we have more Bibles than we know what to do with, and we don't even open them. It was overwhelming to watch. I thought, God, I repent. I want to love your word as much as they do. I want to be as hungry as they are. I want that to be my food. This world is temporary. When life gets tough, just know this world is temporary. But it can all change with one touch from heaven. You know, the lies that we've been believing as Christians, as we talk about influence and being people of influence, I read something this morning that very encouraging. And to be honest with you, I'd never heard it before. And let me find it. We've been told a lie from the media for years that there's a 50% divorce rate. Now, I understand people have been divorced. We're not bringing any condemnation. I just want to bring some encouragement. Divorce isn't the unpardonable sin, right? But I want to encourage those, and many of you have been remarried and have great marriages. But you may have heard that the divorce rate in the church is 50% the same as the world. I've quoted it, talked about it, and I've heard many other people talk about it. But what happened was, is years ago, when marriages weren't doing well in the 70s and early 80s, the people who make predictions were predicting that the divorce rate would someday be 50% with the way things are going. They never, Christians or non-Christians, they never really did a study about it. Never really did. So they just assumed, and we've been believing a lie for all these years. And in an interview with CBN, Feldhahn shared that, like most of us, she has swallowed the anti-marriage propaganda hook, line, and sinker. She believed that most marriages were unhappy and 50% of them would end in divorce. And she had a thought to herself, it just cannot be true. Can't be true. After years of a crusade, digging through tremendously complicated research and things that she tried to look at, she found out that first-time marriages probably have a 20 to 25% divorce rate, according to the study, and that Christian marriages are probably in the teens. That 4 out of 5 people that are married are actually happy. That means 80% of people that are married are actually happy in their marriage. Church-going people, and that 80%, those that stayed married, I need to find this, she said that the 80% that are actually happy and the 4 out of 5 that stay married are church people that aren't just claiming to be Christians, they actually attend and are involved in a church. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Our influence as couples is amazing. Because I will guarantee you that other couples that aren't going to church this morning that live in your neighborhood are watching you. Leave your house early right? And they're thinking, where are those people going on Sunday? How come they don't ever sleep in? Oh, they must be going to church. Praise God. Influence. I just wanted to share that because I thought it was pretty amazing. I read that this morning. I was like, really? Wow. Well, fellow aliens, fellow ambassadors, fellow heaven citizens, the message this morning is expand the kingdom and complete the mission. Expand the kingdom, complete the mission. Set aside your own agenda. Because my food, the good food, the satisfying things in life are doing what God asked us to do. The selfish things, I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. How dare that pastor call me when I haven't been to church? Who do those people think they are? All the other things we have to do, as far as God's will, we get to do. It's our food. And when we focus on that, I'm telling you, all the other things in life will come together. When we put God first, all the things that we've been worried about and working on, I'm not saying we can be lazy and we have to quit our jobs and all that. We got to pay the bills. We got to provide for the family. That's the will of God. But let's put God first. Amen? Let's think differently. Let's realize that we're sent on this earth for a purpose. You go to your job, yes, to make money, but there's a higher reason why you're there. There's people to influence all around you. You know, I said it before, you know, Dan this week, he works 5 days and he spent 2 full days with us on his days off working at the building. You know? If you ever go on Dan's bus is an evangelistic house on wheels. That's just what Dan loves people, talks to people, knows people's names. I mean, that's just Dan. I will guarantee you people will wait for, let two buses pass and wait for Dan's bus as they want to be in his bus. We all need to think this way. You think, well, my job is so boring. Well, start thinking differently about your job. Who are you there to influence? Who are you there to invite out to dinner or lunch or to write a card to or to give a gift to? Influence them. Start thinking differently. God, my food, I am hungry to do your will because all the rest of it is just boring and mundane. I don't care what kind of profession you're in, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer. My brother-in-law, he does stent operations every day, all day. Don't tell me that doesn't get boring. You want to make sure you, if you have an operation, you get it done in the morning, not in the afternoon. Can you say amen? That's why when I had my back operation, I was the first one there. My wife let me off at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Yep, surgery center dropped me off, and they prepped me. Thank you. And the nurse that met me there, I found out she goes to a church of some friends of ours. So we start talking Jesus, you know. And she comforts me and says, she goes, it's a good thing you're first today. I'm like, why is that? He goes, always the best time. Doctor's fresh. Hallelujah. I'm comforted. It all gets boring. Life gets mundane. Doesn't matter what you do. We get tired. But we don't exist just to make money and just to exist. My food is to do his will. My desire is to do his will. Like sometimes when I want a Dairy Queen, oh, peanut buster parfait. I'm like, that's why you have kids that drive. Hey, go get some ice cream. I want a peanut buster parfait. I can taste it. The peanuts and the chocolate sauce. And I anticipate them. I'm listening for them driving back up in the driveway, open the door. Oh, they're here. I can taste it as it comes down the hallway, and I'm sitting on the couch. I'm like, wow. And then I get disappointed because I eat it too fast and it's done with. Some people say you need to enjoy your food. I eat too fast to enjoy it. And when it comes to God's food, his food never runs out. His food never molds. It never gets old. Amen. It's satisfying. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And when we walk in his will and we understand what we're here for and the purpose we were created for, you will satisfy your soul and your spirit and your mind and your body every day doing his will and eating his food. That's why we're here. Amen? Let's all bow our heads. Let's pray this morning.